you want to turn in your Bibles tonight, I'll be reading in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9.
Praise the Lord. Oh, God. Hallelujah.
The book of Nehemiah, chapter 9. We find here that it says in the title of this that to praise God in confession of sins. And here they're kind of just going over Israel's history. How that God had seen pity on them when they were there in the land of Egypt. How He cared about their sorrows. How He was concerned for them.
Right.
And how He went to them and He led them out of their bondage. Out of their sin. Out of those hard things they were going through. How the taskmasters were just making things so hard for them.
Right.
And this is what they're talking about. And they get here in verse 13. And it says, Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commandest them thy precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant, and gavest them bread from heaven for their hunger, and broughtest forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst, and promised them that they should go in to possess the land which thou hast sworn to give them. But they and our fathers dealt proudly, and hardened their necks, and hearkened not to thy commandments, and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But this is what I want to focus on tonight. But thou art a God ready to pardon.
Yes.
Gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Now God had done wonderful things for these people.
Right.
How He gave them His laws. You know, the Ten Commandments were given really for all men's benefit. If we would just live by the law, we would do pretty good.
Right.
Honor your father and mother. Do it. You won't get beat to death.
Yeah.
You know, just obey the laws. God did mighty miracles for them. How He led them out of Egypt. How He led them out of their bondage. How He parted the Red Sea and they walked across on dry land. God did mighty things in their midst. God was a real God to them. God was a personal God to them. God loved them enough to take them out of where they were at and lead them to that land of promise. But it wasn't long that they hardened their hearts. They stiffened their necks. And they appointed a captain unto them to return them back to their bondage. But God is a God who stands ready to pardon. Who's gracious and merciful. And He's slow to anger and of great kindness. And He forsook them not. God's a merciful God. God is a merciful God. Sin is a dangerous thing. Sin separates man from God. Sin takes that relationship that we have from God and it just cleaves it asunder.
Come on. Amen.
And leaves us in our bondage.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to go somewhere. Just give me some time.
All right, brother.
But He was a God who was ready to pardon. In the book of Genesis, we read about how, you know, God, He created man. How He placed them in that garden. How He had fellowship with them. How He came and He walked and He talked with them in the cool of the day. Because God loved man. But in their rebellion against God, they sinned and they separated themselves from His presence. From His fellowship. But God in His mercy didn't just want to leave it there. But He slain that animal to cover their nakedness. And to shed that blood. Because without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sin. And God still continued on down through time to deal with man. Because He's a God who's ready to pardon. Hallelujah. And there were men who found favor in God's sight. And God dealt with them. And God reached for them. And God came to them. But man, in the wickedness of his heart, would go right back to the very thing that God was trying to bring them out of. Help us tonight, God. So we come down to where they're in Egypt. Excuse me, Israel's in Egypt. And God sends on Moses, that great deliverer, to bring them out of their bondage and their captivity. And then after all of that, they still chose to go back to their sin and separate themselves from God again. I don't understand it. Why do we do that? Why do we separate our own selves from God? How can we come into His presence? How can we feel His touch? How can we give our hearts to salvation, experience the power of God, and yet we go back on Him and we return to our bondage? God doesn't have to deal with us again. God doesn't have to extend that merciful hand to us again. But God is ready to pardon. And He's merciful. And He's kind. And He goes to and fro seeking who He can bring back. Because God is married to the backslider. God still loves us. Even when we're wrong. He doesn't approve of it. He doesn't condone it. But He stands with hands outstretched, ready to pardon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Isaiah 55 and 7, "Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." In Jeremiah 33 and 8, the Bible says, "And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me." God is a God who stands ready to pardon. And He's here tonight to pardon somebody from your iniquity, to pardon somebody from your bondage, to take somebody out of prison and to set them free. Because God is a God who stands ready to pardon. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In the book of Micah 7 and 18, "Who is a God like unto our God that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgressions of His remnant for His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy." Delighteth in mercy. Here are these people, God's chosen. And time after time after time, they go right back. Right back. There in Egypt, they had Moses. There in the wilderness, they had Moses. But it was going to take a little bit more. Oh God. So God sent His only begotten Son, that with whosoever would believe in Him should not perish, but would have everlasting life. God suffered that no man perish, but that all men would come to repentance. And why? He should have done away with us long ago. He should have given up with us, but He was a God who stood ready to pardon us. Hallelujah. God stands ready to pardon. Hallelujah. Would you pray, saints of God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus came and He said in Luke 4 and 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to break the bonds of sin." So many times our church was saying, "He set me free. Oh, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Glory to God, He set me free." Oh, He can set us free tonight because He is ready to pardon. When Jesus Christ came in the flesh, He came to pardon. He came to redeem those that were His. He came to the lost sheep of Israel and He came to save. Hallelujah. That day that they were taking him to the cross, he took another man's place. He took another man's place. That man's name was Barabbas. That man was a sinner. That man was a criminal. That man was guilty. That man should have died. But Jesus Christ took his place so that he didn't have to die. And when he was freed, he was pardoned. Pardoned. Hallelujah. There's a thing in Hebrew law that I read about called double jeopardy. And the Romans were in control of those days. And when a prisoner, when a criminal was pardoned, he was pardoned forever. He could never be tried again for the same crimes. And they would give him his pardon, and he would take it home, and he would nail it on his door. And anybody that came around to accuse, anyone that came around to take him back, that pardon was nailed to the door, and he was free. And who the Son set free is free indeed. And we can nail a pardon on the door of our heart. And when Satan comes back to claim his own, when Satan comes back to mock and torment, we can say, I'm pardoned, I'm free, I'm saved, I've been delivered. I have been brought out of prison because someone else took my place. Hallelujah. That old song was that I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. I should have hung on the cross in his place. But Jesus, God's Son, took my place. Hallelujah. Help me, Brother Jerry. This is Barabbas, just for a few moments. Barabbas is there in his cell, and they're coming to get him. Most likely, Barabbas thought he was going to be taken out and crucified, nailed to that old rugged cross, be condemned for the things he had done. He knew he was guilty. But instead, they gave him a pardon. Cheap nails. And he took it home. Go over to that door. Yes. And he nailed it to the door. Yeah, that's fine. He was pardoned. He was guilty. He was a sinner. You were condemned to die. Now you're pardoned. And you're free. And nobody can bring up the charges again. Because we're pardoned. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God, I thank you for salvation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And tonight, I've got your pardon. I've got your pardon. You're bound, and you need to be free. And I've got your pardon. And all you got to do is come and get it. Freedom. Deliverance. Liberty. Peace. Sleep at night. Hope for tomorrow. Oh, God. Because He's a God who stands ready to pardon. And He's here to pardon you tonight of your sin. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. Oh, God, help us tonight. Jesus, have your way. It was on March 29, 1960, that a man named Martin Dalton died at the age of 91. He had been in prison for 63 years at the Rhode Island State Prison. He killed a businessman in 1897, and he was tried and he was found guilty. He was sentenced at the age of 28. In 1939, his case was reviewed, and he was granted a full pardon. But he refused. He refused the pardon, and he chose to stay in prison. They didn't even know what to do. How can a man who has been in prison this long be offered freedom and refuse? They didn't even know how to handle the case any longer. They had to go back and start researching the laws. And they found out that during the presidency of Andrew Jackson, that there was a man who had robbed the U.S. Mail and had murdered a man. And he was tried and he was convicted. And the president gave him a full pardon. But the man refused. And they didn't even know what they were going to do. They didn't know how to handle it. So it went to the Supreme Court. Finally, the Chief Justice said, a pardon is no pardon at all unless it is accepted. And tonight there is a pardon down here for you. Tonight God has extended His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness, His love. But if you refuse, it's no good to you. It doesn't do any good unless you accept it. It's already been paid for. It's already been given. It's already been purchased at Calvary. The blood has been shed. But unless you accept, unless you repent, unless you return from your sin, unless you accept the pardon, it's worthless. Worthless. Oh God. And if you refuse tonight and you walk out on this pardon, I hope it haunts you every day that you live. I hope you can't sleep. I hope you can't eat. I hope you can't function as a human. Well, that's cruel. No, it's not, because your soul's at stake. You're going to die lost and go to a devil's hell. But there's a pardon, and there's redemption, and there's mercy, and it's right here. But if you refuse, it's worthless. Worthless. And if you walk out on mercy, you are stomping, you are trampling the blood of Christ underneath your feet. And the whole time that you're running away, He is watching you. And He stands ready to pardon, sweet Lamb of God in heaven. If you would just come and accept. Hallelujah. You're not shouting. You're not running the pews. But God is here. And He stands ready to pardon you.
You're right.
Oh, salvation. That free gift. Salvation. That opportunity for man to be restored back to God. But if you refuse, hell waits at the door. My God. I heard Brother Mike sing at Flatwoods. Sin paints a pretty picture. Of riches and whole. Says, I'll give you all you want. Here in this life is below. But when this life is over and at the judgment, you will see that the picture He has painted is not what you believe. Refused. Refused. Could have been free. You could have been set at liberty. But you refused. You refused. God. God help us. Hallelujah. Jesus. The Bible tells us in the book of Leviticus. Believe it's for the cleansing of leprosy, which is a type of sin.
Right.
That they would take two birds and they would kill one under running water. They would take the live one and they would dip it in there. They would take it out to the field and they would set it free. That's a type and a shadow of what Christ has done for us. It also tells in the book of Leviticus, I think it's chapter 17 or chapter 16, how they would take the two goats, One was killed. The blood of the one that was killed was put on the live one. And he was set loose, free. And that's what Christ has done for us. He took our place. He's the scapegoat. He's Barabbas' freedom. And he's your only hope. And he loves you. And he wants to save you. He wants to forgive you. And he wants to abundantly pardon. But it's all up to you. Brother Nichols can't make you do it. Brother Jerry can't make you do it. I can't make you accept it. The Supreme Court couldn't even set a man free when they wanted to because he refused it. And I'd free you. But if you refuse, it's no good. Stand with me tonight. Hallelujah. Jesus. Somebody would come to the music. May not have been what you expected tonight. I don't know anybody's. I don't know your heart. I don't know where you stand with the Lord. But I want to make the altar call this way. There's still a pardon down here. And if you're not right with God, you're the one that knows. You know if you're bound in that prison, full of sorrow and doubt. But there's pardon and freedom. And all you got to do is come and accept it. It's that easy. How easy is it? How easy is salvation? Coming down and accepting it. Jesus, I'm lost. Jesus, I know that you paid the debt. Would you forgive me? Would you come into my heart to live? Make me a new creature. Then you accept. You believe. You're born again. You've repented of your sins, and then when you go, you turn from them. And you have a pardon. That when the devil himself accuses you, I'm free. Free. If you would like to pray, if you would like to receive salvation, he's here to forgive you. Would you come? He stands here ready to pardon. Is there anyone tonight who needs the Lord? Kind of reminded right now of our Christmas play. Got to go out and preach at the end of it. And I took the baby Jesus from the manger and I held him up. And I auctioned him off. Is there anybody who would like the Savior? Is there anybody here who would like Jesus? Is there anybody here tonight who would like Christ? And the house was full of sinners. And there was tears being shed. And conviction was present in a mighty way. And I waited and I pulled and I begged and I just... Oh, please come to the altar. Accept Christ as your Savior. Going once. Going twice. Going three times. It's gone. We opened the curtains back up and handed that baby back to his mother and said, nobody wants him. That's the way I feel so many times in church. You present the Savior. You offer forgiveness. And you offer pardon. and they refuse. And I can't understand. Remember how empty my life was before Him. Like Sister Mary said, a backslider with no hope. I was in the same condition, raised in the house of God, but a backslider with no hope. But even though I appointed a captain to take me back to my bondage, He stood ready to forgive. Is there anyone tonight? The altar's open. Is there anyone tonight? Oh, God.
Satan paints a pretty picture.
Altars are open for all who want to come and pray.